Welcome to Sentence to Paragraph, a podcast on the space between wordcraft and the writer's life. I'm Darilyn Evans, and I'm joined by my co-host, Molly Martin. Hi, Molly. How's it going?
Hi, Darilyn. Doing well.
Good. So what's been up in your neck of the woods for writing?
I am doing a lot of editing, which is really, it's fun for me. So I know a lot of people don't think that that's fun for them, but I love it. So I've been doing a lot of editing. I'm applying to get into a grad school. Yay, fingers crossed. And getting a little bit back into my own writing.
Very exciting. So the things that you're editing, are those other people's projects or is that your project?
Oh, no, those are other people's projects.
Oh, cool.
I'm getting paid to do this.
Oh, and that's always a happy thing, too.
It is. Cool. Plus, it's like the best gig in the world because people pay me to read their books. So, like, that's my dream job.
Yes, that was exactly what I wanted to be as a child, as somebody who got paid to read books. Like, that would be it. Could I have that as a job? So, awesome. I'll just jump over to my check-in then. So I got to go to the Willamette Writers 50th Conference last week, which was really exciting. And mostly I sat at the table, but it's always fun to get to jump into a few sessions. And my highlight of the conference was Janet Burraway was one of the keynote speakers, which was like amazing. And if you don't know Janet Burraway, which I just can't imagine you couldn't know Janet Burraway because she wrote the text on creative writing that's used in like every creative writing class in colleges and universities. And even if you are not in school, it is just an amazing text to check out. But anyway, so Janet Burraway's session, she read us Where the Wild Things Are, and her talk was something like the 10 tips, 10 top things you need to know about writing, and all of them are in Where the Wild Things Are. And I had no idea that having Janet Burraway read me Where the Wild Things Are was on my bucket list, but that happened. It was so exciting. And then I got to talk to her a little bit afterwards and took a picture with her, and I was like so geeky and excited and totally fangirled out. It was super awesome. And also cool to see an organization that has put on a conference for 50 years and see all the amazing things they're doing. So shout out to Willamette Writers. Nice job. It was very exciting.
Yay.
Yeah. So and then to get to chat with all of our writers who were up there at the conference and meet new ones and see all the things. So it was fun. And writing-wise, I've just been plugging away. I've started a new, I thought it was just going to be a little short story, but it is turning into a very long short story at the moment. So
they do tend to escape, don't they?
They do. yeah, so we'll see where it goes. I'm trying the pantsing version of writing a short story. So, just to walk on the wild side a little bit more. So it's totally gotten away from me.
That sounds delightful. I actually have a quote to share with you about that might help you with your pantsing and plotting and so forth.
Oh, awesome.
So this is from Michelle Richmond, posted this, I believe it's on her blog or her website, but if you look up her name, you'll find her. It says, "The first draft contains everything you wanted to say. The final draft contains everything you needed to say, those things that are essential to the story." And the reason that I bring that up is because you're embarking into the wonderful, thrilling world of pantsing a novel and just kind of like getting out there and writing your story. And one of the things that I think we pantsers have a problem with is figuring out when our story is done. Because unlike a plotter, we don't have a plan to execute against. So we can't look at it and say, have I written all the, 36 or 67 or 329 scenes that I plan to write? We just kind of can keep writing infinitely. And so I think for pantsers especially, it's important to know what is the difference between your first draft and your second draft and subsequent drafts of the novel. So we were thinking to talk today about what is a first draft and how is it different from all other drafts? And that's probably a good place to start with that question.
Awesome. So from a pantser's perspective, then what, well, how do you define a first draft? I guess that doesn't even have to be from a pantser's perspective, but what is a first draft versus any other draft?
So for me, a first draft is to get the main idea out onto the page. And I think this is something that pantsers do as they're writing and that plotters do before they start writing. So that's what I see as one of the key differences. Where I think that pantsers in particular have a problem with the first draft is that it's easy to keep adding on to that because it's so much fun to write and you have those great inspirational moments and you have all of these fun ideas about my character could do this and that and everything else. And then what happens is you have 3,000 subplots that never get resolved and 900 characters and a Game of Thrones television series that people are mad about for decades afterwards. So, I mean, you know, there are worse people in the world to emulate than George R. R. Martin, but he is very much a self-proclaimed discovery writer. And I'm not knocking him at all. I love the books. But I am saying that if you are not him, which you're not, and if you are him and you're listening to my podcast, oh my God, I love you so much. But if you are not George R. R. Martin, you cannot write that way. You have to have some kind of end state in mind. And so for us pantsers, what you need to figure out is, if nothing else, have a word count in mind. Like, that might be a good rule of thumb. And a lot of beginning writers don't know kind of industry word counts off the top of your head. So let's say, for example, that you're writing a thriller. You're probably going to want something that's around 60 to 70,000 words. And when you get to 60 to 70,000 words, whether you think you're done or not, take a break and evaluate your novel. Just figure out what are the things that need to be resolved and how quickly could you resolve those things. So for example, if you're writing speculative fiction like sci-fi, fantasy, even horror, you can get away with a bigger amount of words, probably like 90 to even 120,000. So again, if you have no plan, a word count is a good way to at least tell you, to at least get to the point where you're like, okay, I've written enough that there should be something in there that can become a novel.
what do you do though as a pantser and you get to 60 or 70 or 80 and you're like, well, they haven't even gotten out of act two yet.
Yeah.
How do you know that? How do you handle that?
That's when you decide that you're writing a trilogy.
Uh-huh.
But all joking aside, so at that point, it's probably a good idea to, since you're a pantser and you're doing your editing afterwards instead of your plotting ahead of time, again, you take your little break, write down kind of, okay, this is what has happened so far. And think of yourself, if it helps, do your like television voiceover voice actor last time on whatever show. This is what happened to our protagonists. And just kind of write out, okay, this is what has happened so far. Just really short, like doesn't even have to be detailed. But just writing those things down are going to help you to figure out, oh, what are the things that I left behind? And also it's kind of a great excuse to go through and reread your stuff and see, one, how brilliant you were before, and two, how much you have improved since you started writing those first words versus now you're at 60 to 70,000. So it's good for your ego overall. It's awesome. So those are some things that might help you if you're a pantser figuring out, am I done with my novel or not? Another good way to do that is if you're a pantser and you're in a writer's group, your writer's group will tell you, and sometimes they will physically hold you down and pry your manuscript away from you, in a gentle and loving way.
Mm-hmm.
But that can help too. So sometimes you might be so close and so dedicated to your work that you can't see when it's done. As many parents who can't see that their adult children are adults, we writers are the same way. We can't see, you know, our precious, fledgling, fragile little novel that can't possibly survive in the world by itself. And then other people who aren't so close to it can tell us it's ready. It, you know, it can go to kindergarten by itself now.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if we should back up and talk a little bit about, just in case I'm misunderstanding, like what done means, and you mean just in terms of first draft, like got the basic, and what is a first draft? Like, is it just all the fun things we thought we were going to say? What was the quote again? All the things you wanted to say versus all the things that need to be there, essentially. So how do you determine when you've said all the things, or what do you expect as a pantser to have roughly in a draft, loosely maybe, in a draft? Like, what are the pieces? Is it just, you know, like, that's roughly a beginning, middle, and end? Or is that, you know, I understand who the character is and why they do what they do, or how they get where they're going? What does that look like for you as a pantser? You speak for all pantsers.
Yes, I do. So this is the definitive answer, and nobody else's answer will be right from now on. So for me as a pantser, one of the things that I want to see before I think that my story is done is I've written all the cool stuff. So and I know that's a terribly unhelpful answer, but it's kind of true from the pantser perspective. I've written all the cool stuff. So if you're still in the point where you get up and you rush to your computer and you type out however many words that you've got, and you're like so excited and you've still got good ideas and they're still coming, you're probably not done with your first draft. Even if you've passed that word count point, what you're going to be doing is you're just going to be like way exceeding your word count, and you know that, and you know that you're going to be cutting back. So that's okay. So if stuff is still coming, keep writing. I want to stress that first before we do anything else, is if the writing is still coming, don't stop, because you're in a magical space that every other writer wants to be in, and keep doing that. If you have exceeded that point and it's not this wonderful, magical flow of words onto the page every time you sit down, you've probably reached the point where you're done. As a pantser, you might not have thought ahead of time about, I'm in act one, here's what act two has, here's what act three has, or even things as technical as beginning, middle, or end. I'm not trying to talk down to pantsers. I'm just saying that's not kind of how our brain works. Mm-hmm. That we go into it with this idea that things have different categories. But if you get to your word count check, let's just call it a check-in. If you get to your word count check-in goal, and you can identify some sort of beginning, middle, and end, some sort of, here's my character has a problem they try to solve, things get worse, and there's some sort of resolution, then you have a story, and your story is probably done, and you just need to go to second draft at that point. One of the things that also for me will show me that I'm in a second draft stage, even if I don't think that I am, is when I'm going back and I'm adding details and specificity. So let's say that I'm writing and I realize my character, you know, in this scene, they need to have a certain type of motorcycle because it's going to be a plot point in this scene. And then so earlier in the story, I have to go back and I have to add that certain type of motorcycle. Well, now I'm doing editing anyways. So you're going to do... You might be doing a little bit of that as you write, or you might just be making notes to yourself of, you know, add the motorcycle later. But an example that I saw was if you're writing really fast and you say, you know, the character goes out into a field full of flowers. When you're doing your first draft, that's great. You don't really have to get into what kind of flowers they are. When you're doing your second draft, that's when you take your time and you look at, you know, what kind of flowers are they? Do they have to be, you know, are you setting this in a certain place that has a certain type of flowers? Or are you trying to say something about the weather? Or are you trying to say something about, you know, they're endangered flowers or they're dangerous flowers or whatever? So that's when you're making some more deliberate choices about the details of your writing rather than just saying they're flowers. So yeah, there's as with most things with pantsers, there's not a whole lot of hard and fast rules about how best to do things, but I have some suggestions that might help. That's about the best I can do.
What I wonder, because what I see a lot, especially with pantsers in my classes and the folks I've worked with, is like they'll get, you know, those couple of first two or three chapters with really brilliant ideas, and then they polish the snot out of those because they don't know what comes next. Like they can't even get out of that initial gate, or they'll get 100 pages in and then they kind of get stuck. And so I think sometimes it isn't when the draft is done, it's just how to get to the end of the draft. And I think a lot of people start polishing early because they're not quite sure what comes next, instead of trying to push through and see where that character's going to go. Or they realize, well, something's not right at the beginning, but I'll just start polishing instead of really looking at maybe character motivation or what else needs to be set up, maybe some of those deeper aspects of character or plot problem or whatnot.
I'm definitely guilty of that. So I 100% identify with what you're saying. But it's something that to me, when I'm doing it, I can't see that I'm doing it. I think it's one of those, this is again, one of those things where if you have any kind of writing community, it's really nice to have somebody else who's giving you feedback on things like that. Or if you are aware of it, you can watch out for it in your own writing of, oh, wait a minute, why am I editing the snot out of this scene that I've already edited three times instead of writing something new? And that could be a diagnostic tool for you as a pantser to figure out that you don't know where you're going, which is, you know, a different problem. And it's definitely a pantser specific problem, I think, more so than plotters, because even if you're a plotter, even if you don't like what you're writing next, you know at some point you're going to get to the fun stuff again. So even if you have to write kind of some scene that you particularly don't like the aspect of, eventually you'll get to scenes that you are more comfortable writing. Mm-hmm. I think it for pantsers, I think the problem is when we feel like we're bogged down in our story, it's like the never-ending story with that terrible scene. And there's just no way out for us. And we're like, we're going to die here. And so it's good for us pantsers to know that, you know, hey, it's okay to stop and maybe do like a tiny little roadmap here and think about how have we gotten to the state that we're in and where would we like to go? And even just skip ahead. Like skipping ahead is an amazing fix for this problem of say, okay, I've got these characters, they're in a situation, I don't know how to fix the situation, so I'm just going to write, and then they resolve situation X and move on to the next thing that you do know.
Yes. Always a good idea. So I was just trying to think of this from a pantser's perspective, and I think I talked about this before. Like, I like to think of an outline or that plotting aspect of a story pre-writing as like as a zero draft, or as, you know, it is kind of a draft. And at least it gives you that skeleton outline, that plan of where you're going. And I think of that almost as a draft, like to kind of discover where at least the big movements are and spend some time discovering where the I don't know, the, you know, character problems, the motivations, the whatever their irreconcilable selves are and whatnot. And what are the best, you know, play around plot wise with what are the best conflicts that will help, you know, test and prod and pick at their irreconcilable selves, or that, you know, catch 22 situation that you know, whatever they are feeling insecure or vulnerable about, that's causing them not to change and grow. So kind of thinking about what are the situations, and that lets me test those again without writing a million words, but also still leaves a lot of room for discovery in the actual first draft process. But I think where plotters might get stuck is not like, if you get stuck in the plotting of not maybe sitting down and doing a little bit of writing in order to get past whatever roadblocks, or just getting so excited about each, you know, aspect of plotting every single thing out and not actually getting to the writing. So I think plotters get stuck there too. But also for even an outliner or a plotter, getting that first draft down, there's still a lot of discovery and whatnot that happens after that, but just getting that rough outline out and not getting stuck in the because I plotted it out, now when I write it, it must come out perfectly from the pen and have all of the specific details. I think there's still that, you know, if you do zero draft of an outline, there's still that you still need to do a first draft and allow some discovery to happen. But that's not like, it's not coming out of your pen polished and super, super perfect. Like there's still like, those are second draft and third draft and 11th draft aspects to polish and to really refine everything.
Yep. I think one of the things that as we talk about this more, focusing on it from a, this is a pantser and this is a plotter kind of thing, I think what I'm realizing that as a writer is we need to kind of stop dividing the community so sharply into saying like, plotters, only plotters do X and only pantsers do Y and never the twain shall meet. Because I think all writers are a bit of both. And all writers, even if you're an extreme on one side or the other, and I do know some writers who are extremes on one side or the other, you can still use techniques from the other side to help you overcome, like you were mentioning, plotters that might get bogged down in doing, you know, 5 years worth of research to write a short story. Mm-hmm. And which is sort of incomprehensible to pantsers. Mm-hmm. Like research? What is this thing? But plotters can borrow things from sort of the spontaneity and the lack of commitment to any particular one story idea. Not to denigrate the noble pantser. But we're less tied in, and we're less, you know, if we decide like, oh, well, wait a minute, this character was a werewolf all the way along, it's not really so big of a problem for us.
Wait, you have werewolves?
Who doesn't?
When in trouble, when in doubt, just add a werewolf.
Yes, or a ninja.
It's actually going to be our advice for the...
Well, have you tried adding a werewolf?
Yes. That solves both plotter and pantser problems.
It really does. And you know what? It doesn't even need to be like be creative about it. It could be a werewolf figurine. It could be a werewolf movie. Like don't take it literally, but you know, maybe your character needs to go out and howl at the moon or something like that. So we're just going to say all writing problems can be solved by adding werewolves.
Oh yes. I can't wait to see these stories. Please.
And if worst comes to worst, if you yourself become a werewolf, your writing problems will also be solved. You'll have different problems now, but your writing problems will not be the main ones.
Exactly.
I feel like we can't go wrong with this.
This is good. This is good. Awesome. Oh, goodness. Well, this has been enlightening for first draft versus second draft. Do you have any thoughts on an editing tip that might go along with our first versus second draft?
I do. So my editing tip is when you are doing your first draft, don't edit, and especially don't proofread. And this is super hard for me to do because I think, Darilyn, you have accurately identified a major issue for me, is that if I'm stuck, I go back and I start editing. And I start putting in all the commas and capitalizing and catching all the typos and all of that kind of thing. Because then I feel like I can say I'm writing because I'm looking at the screen and I'm dealing with words, but I'm really not. So what I'm doing is just creatively procrastinating. Mm-hmm. So when you're doing your first draft, really, really 100% resist the impulse to edit. You can write yourself notes. You can write things in the novel. I mean, just like pick a different font or a different color or highlight it or some way and say, you know, remember to go back 3 chapters and put in the werewolf because it's going to need to be here now. but just keep that forward momentum. And this applies to pantsers and to plotters. So pantsers, you'll probably do it in your document, and plotters, you'll probably go back to your draft and look and see where that werewolf can fit in. But both of you, all of you, all writers, do that.
Awesome. All right. Well, it's been super fun chatting with you. Do you have big writing plans this next week?
My big writing plans are now to start writing new stuff. So the next time I apply for an MFA, I will have different material to give to them.
So excited. Well, you're only going to need to apply once. I know that. So
they have no standards.
Awesome. I get to spend the weekend with Eric Witchie doing Fiction Fluency again. I'm very excited. So it's just been weekend after weekend of crazy stuff. So
you are just so, I don't know. I'm very jealous. I'll say that.
So, well, can always move back to Oregon. Kidding. All right. Well, it's certainly been fun chatting with you, and I hope you have an awesome, productive, happy writing week. And
Thank you.
And thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye, everybody.
Sentence to paragraph. See you next week.